Now let's continue on. After baptism, what do I do? Well, you need to understand the process of what is happening. And you need to understand what God is doing with you, so you then know what you need to do. See? Now, back here to Ephesians, the first chapter. Now let's read verse 2 again. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? From the throne in heaven above on the sea of glass with Christ at his right hand. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, this is what is going to happen in your life from this time forward. It is not going to be physical riches. It is not going to be success in the world. It is going to be spiritual riches and spiritual success in changing and overcoming. And we will also see that will include a good measure of trials. Let me just, a little sidebar here. Have you ever been praying, saying, "Oh God, I need more patience. Oh God, I need more love." Okay. And immediately, something comes up where you're in a hostile situation. And you think, I just prayed for more love. I just prayed for, you know, more patience. In a hostile situation, you lost your temper. The prayer was answered with a little trial. Now then, you realize how weak you are, correct? Yes. See, so when you ask for something, the answer is going to come, and it may be different than what you expect. See, if you ask for more love, you expect more hugs and kisses. See? But God wants you to have love from within with control. See? Notice, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. Now, what can that be compared to? Nothing. This is great. Accordingly, now I want you to think on this verse, because sometimes people will be sitting in church and wonder, why am I here? Especially if you've been in a church where you've heard nonsense from the pulpit. Be it a Protestant church, a Catholic church, or a church of God. Okay. Here's why you're here. Because you responded to God, and God responded to you. You responded to him, and he responded to you, which is this. According as he has personally chosen us for himself. I want you to think on that. I want you to begin to grasp in your prayers how great this is. Now, you're going to understand this verse more as you study the Psalms, more as you study the epistles of Paul, more as you study James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you see, because you come to God in prayer and he's already given you what he wants you to do, study his word. See? Because this is God's personal message to each one of us. We're now his children. We received the Holy Spirit. We are in different category than other people in the world. Not to get lifted up and get a kind of a nya-nya-nya-nya attitude. No, not that at all. We need to be humble and thankful and grateful, see? According as he has personally chosen us for himself. Now, this was God's plan before the foundation of the world. See, God had the plan all worked out before he started creating the world. Wouldn't you think that'd be a good idea? Huh? Now, what if you started building something, you didn't know why you were building, and when you got it done, you said, I wonder what I'm going to do with this. See? It doesn't mean he knew us before the foundation of the world, but he planned it and predestined his plan and then called us to it. Personally chosen us for himself. Okay? in order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. That's what God has called us to. Now, so everything that you do after baptism, you base it on the love of God, the faith of God, the hope of God, and the grace of God. We'll see that. Having predestinated us for sonship to himself. Many are called, but few are chosen. And once you are chosen and you answer the call, you are predestinated to sonship. If you don't answer the call, you are not predestinated to sonship, and he did not know you before you existed. Through Jesus Christ. Now, sonship to himself. Notice, for himself, verse 2, to himself, verse 5, through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his own will. So why am I here? Because God has called, and I have answered, and have repented, and am baptized, and received the Holy Spirit. Now God is dealing with you as sons and daughters. Notice, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son. Now here's also what we have, brethren. Now you remember the model prayer when the disciples said, teach us to pray. He said, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. See? And that means in our lives and in God's plan. See? Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses and sins as we forgive others. Now, we're going to talk about that in a different sense, about us and others, because others are also involved. And combined together, we have some great things that we need to do. Okay? So let's go on. Okay? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, the Holy Spirit of God will reveal sin that's already lodged in your brain. Okay? Now you go back to the series we did, Who and What Controls Your Mind. Everything you've ever done has been recorded in your mind. Your mind is to be converted. That's the whole process of what is going to be done after you're baptized. You need to yield to God, you need to love God, you need to keep his commandments, you need to stand in his grace, you need to pray, you need to study. All of these things are the tools that God has given so that we can grow and develop and prepare for eternal life. See, everything has come from God. Like Paul wrote in Acts 17, that even one of the Greek poets said, that in God we live and move and have our being. See? That is true. Now, all ministers and elders, please, that being the case, don't get lifted up in power and authority, edify the brethren, don't beat them up. It's hard enough in the world. So when they come to church, they don't like to be excoriated, and you're not going to get righteousness in them by condemning them. See, God wants us to be inspired and to desire to respond to him. And that only comes with the Spirit of God and understanding what we are to do. See, all right? Verse 8, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. Now think on this next verse, because this becomes very important. Having made known to us the mystery of his own will, those who have the Spirit of God and study his word, know the Sabbath and holy days, have had made known to them, to us, the mystery or secret of his own will. God has done that through his word, through his spirit, you see. Now, after you're baptized, you grow in this. You grow in understanding, according to his good pleasure which he proposed in himself, that into the divine plan for the fulfilling of the times he might bring all things together in Christ, both things in the heavens and things upon the earth. And you are a part of that grand plan. That's something. Now notice, let's go on. Now, in the Greek, from verse 1 all the way down to verse 14 is one long run-on sentence, which if you handed in to your English teacher, she would flunk you, because you can't do that in English, but in Greek you can do that, and that way you can put thought upon thought and precept upon precept, okay? All right, verse 11. Yes, in him. Who's him? God the Father and Jesus Christ, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance. What are we going to inherit? First the earth, then the universe. Now, what are you going to compare that to? What is Uncle Willie going to leave you in his will? Or mom and dad in their will? Well, they might leave you something. But do you have an eternal inheritance? A life that you're going to shine like the stars of heaven? Having been predestinated according to his purpose, through his spirit and plan, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his own will. What did we just say the prayer was to be every day? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There it is right there. See? That we might be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, what does that mean? I believe it means this, that at the resurrection, all the angels that we just read of back there in Revelation, the 5th chapter, just think, if they praise God the Father in Christ, who's worthy of power and glory and honor and blessing and riches. What do you think it's going to be when we're all on the sea of glass and the angels are singing, praising God for the completion of his plan? Huh? I mean, that's going to be something. Then we're going to sing some hymns, huh? Yes, well, I'm getting ahead to Pentecost, so let's come back down to earth here a little bit, okay? Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what happened when you received the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. You were sealed. Now notice what this is. This is a down payment by God, or an earnest, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Period. All that's one sentence. Verse 1 through verse 14. All right. Now let's see how Peter wrote about what we need to do. Let's come to the epistle of 1 Peter. Now we know that when we receive the Spirit of God, it is called a begettal. It is the earnest. That's the start. Now your life is going to be centered on spiritual things, the Word of God, the commandments of God, the Spirit of God, the grace of God, the truth of God, and everything like that. And as you grow in grace and knowledge and you study the Word of God, that's going to go into your mind, and this is going to replace what your brain has already had structured upon it. That is conversion. Now, there are going to be some things that are in there that are going to be hard to get rid of, but you have your part in repenting and praying to God, and they will be gotten rid of. Okay? Now, right here in the first chapter of 1 Peter, Peter gives a good summary of what's going to happen in your life, because there are going to be some things that you're going to be confronted with which will be difficult. Those are called trials. And then we will see what the Apostle Paul says about the trials and what those trials are to do. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 1, 1 Peter, the first chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect strangers in Pontius, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, okay, who have been chosen according to the predetermined knowledge of God the Father. We just read that in Ephesians, the first chapter. Okay, unto obedience. We read that in Romans, the sixth chapter. And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice the same thing. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Not just given, multiplied, you see? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, just as we read there in Ephesians, the first chapter, has begotten us again. And that is exactly what the Greek means. Anagune, which means again begotten, or begotten again. Unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Unto an inheritance incorruptible. It isn't going to rot away. Undefiled. No one's going to come and pollute it. Unfading, because it's spiritual, reserved in heaven for us. And what did Jesus say? Put in your margin there, John 14, verses 1 and 2, where Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Okay? And he said, I'm going away, and I am going to prepare a place for you. And that's going to be a new Jerusalem. You know, I was thinking about this the other day as I was coming home on a plane from the trip that I made back east, and I'll write about that in my letter. Had a great trip. But, you know, when you're in the plane and you look down, you see the earth, and, you know, when you're up there at 35,000 feet, you can't even see the highways. And yet there are cars and trucks on the highways, you know. And you have to come down to a lower level before you look down and say, oh, yeah, there's a car. Oh, look, there's a truck. There's a bus, you know. Oh, look at the houses. Look at the buildings. And you come in closer and closer and closer and closer. And I was thinking this. Everybody, every human being has a place where he or she, or husband and wife and family, live. Right? Okay? Even the poorest ones in India, they have a place to live. Now, it may be a lean-to, but it's a place to live. And I thought of the poor, poor people in India that are the outcasts, the unclean, you know, in a caste system that they have. And these pitiful people, you know what they live on? Rats and rice. And they have to get down and dig in the grub in the dirt to get the rats. And I thought, boy, you know, sometimes you have to talk with yourself. You ever do that? I did. I said, Fred, you better never, ever complain about anything ever again. See? Because you can go to your refrigerator and open it up, it's stuffed with food. And you open up your cupboard and it's stuffed with food. And here in America, you can start out as an outcast and you can end up as a billionaire. But you have to do it God's way. But God is doing something greater. See, the place that we're going to live in is New Jerusalem. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for us, who are being safeguarded by the power of God, that's the Spirit of God, through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And we're getting closer to it. Now, there was a last time sequence with the apostles when the apostolic age was coming to an end. But that wasn't the end time. Here he's talking about the last time, which is the end time. When did the end time really begin? I don't have my cowbell out, but I believe it was for the 10 tribes of Israel when the Protestant Reformation took hold. They could have gone all the way to God, but they didn't. The only one who came the closest to doing it was William Tyndale, and he did it alone. Yes, he had some business helpers, but he did it alone. And after that, the UK, Britain, started rising. And by the time of the end of the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, England went from the poorest nation in Europe to the richest, and Spain went from the richest to a third-rate nation. And the thing that really did them in was the Armada, Spanish Armada that God intervened and destroyed. Now, rather than turn to God and continue in great repentance, they did not do that. Now we see today, under Queen Elizabeth II, everything taken away from Ephraim. Everything. The Church of England is no more. Belief in God is virtually non-existent. Witchcraft and Harry Potterism and evolution and the great son, Charles Darwin, is what they look to. And they can't see that it's all being taken away. Now, I'm going to send a Bible to a man who belongs to the organization Covenant Nations, and he wrote a good article in the magazine called Covenant Nations about the Bible. And I'm going to bring out to him that here, living in South Africa, you now know what's going to happen to the British Isles. And we now know what's going to happen to the United States. And I'm going to bring out certain things, and I don't quite know how I'm going to do it, but I think it will be an audio message, so that maybe even a video message. I don't know yet. I haven't decided. But they still stubbornly cling to Protestantism, stubbornly cling to the throne, stubbornly cling to the fact that they are God's people, and they can't see beyond their noses that they have been experiencing the punishment of God for turning their backs on God. God gave them the Bible, but they didn't follow through it. God gave them the blessing of Abraham, but they misused it. And now God, according to the covenant, is taking it away from them. So anyway, sorry for the little sidebar there, but that's been on my mind recently. Okay? Now, let's continue on here in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 6. In this you yourselves greatly rejoice, though for the present, if necessary, you are in distress for a little while by various trials. Now, we're going to experience those, brethren. We don't know what they're going to be, but you read Revelation 12. When Satan is angry, what is he going to do? He's going to come after the remnant of, not the remnant, but the others of the church who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep his commandments. Now, we have to have faith when those days come that we know the only thing they can do to us is take our physical life. They can kill the body, but they cannot take the eternal life that God has begotten us with here in 1 Peter, the first chapter. So we're going to have a proving of our faith. You really believe it? Do you really believe the Sabbath? You really believe the holy days? Yeah. Which is more precious than gold that perishes? I bet if you knew there was a pile of gold somewhere you could get your hands on and no one else knew it but you, you would be out there working furiously, sweating, working. You'd get whatever tool you needed to get it, to dig it, to haul it, to whatever, right? Wouldn't you? Well, what about eternal life? More precious than gold that perishes, though it is being tested by fire. So yes, what are you going to do after baptism? You're going to have some trials by fire. Don't think it's any strange thing. Read all of 1 and 2 Peter and you will understand. See? Isn't it interesting how the Bible is laid out? We have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, which then tell us what Jesus taught, which shows us what we need to do. Then you have James, 1, 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3 John, and Jude. And these epistles tell us what we must do. So here's an assignment for you. Right after baptism, you start studying through James and 1, 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3 John, and Jude. And by the way, we have a complete study book on the general epistles. And we have 79 verse-by-verse messages that go through it. Though it is being tested by fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, not having seen, you love, in whom, though at the present time, you do not see him, you believe and rejoice with unspeakable joy and filled with glory, and are receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls or your lives. Now notice what it is today, even at that time when Peter wrote it, and multiply it that many times more, you see. So here's part of the attitude of what we do. Is what is it that God is doing, see, okay, right here, concerning which salvation the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you have diligently searched out and intently inquired, but they never understood. Think of that. Searching into what way and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them was indicating, testifying beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and these glories that would follow. So you think about what did David think when he wrote Psalm 22? What did Isaiah think after he wrote chapter 53? To whom it was revealed that not for themselves, but to us, they were ministering these things, which now have been announced to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, into which things angels desire to look. Now think on that. God has revealed to you things he hasn't even revealed to the angels. They don't find out until God has revealed it to us. Verse 13. Now all of this leading up to it leads to verse 13. What are you to do? For this reason, see, it starts out, you've been begotten again, okay? For this reason, be prepared in your minds, that is with the Spirit of God. Be self-controlled and fully hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, that ties in with Romans the 6th chapter again, right? Do not conform yourselves to the former lusts as you did in your ignorance. You are to change the way that you think, the way that you live, the way that you react, because Christ, as we have seen, salvation is creation, and the Father is creating in us. We are his workmanship, you see. But according as he who has called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct. So now your life changes. Now your life is focused on how do I live God's way? How do I think God's way? How am I led by the Holy Spirit? How do I pray? How do I study? And in every one of these things, you are to grow in grace and in knowledge. Every one of them. See? Verse 17. And if you call upon the Father, prayer, who judges according to each man's work without respect of persons, pass the time of your life's journey in the fear of God, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things by silver or gold from your futile way of living inherited by traditions from your forefathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. How close does that parallel Ephesians, the first chapter? See? And what are these for? These are epistles. Now let's understand something about epistles. The epistolary form of writing means it is a personal letter. It's not like anything in the Old Testament. These are personal letters from whom? God the Father and Jesus Christ, as they inspired the apostles. See? Personal letters. Encouraging us to do these things. See? Without blemish, without spot. Who truly was foreordained before the world, but was manifested in these last times for your sake. Now they saw Christ. They heard Christ. Peter was taught by Christ. Look at everything that he went through. Study the life of Peter in the Gospels. You see, he had good points and he had bad points. See? Did he become converted? Yes, he did. Look at what he's writing here now and compare that to when Christ had to rebuke him for his attitude. See? Just likewise with you. You've been baptized. What now do you do? You start living God's way. How do you do that? Through prayer, through study, through great daily living, through whatever comes into your life, how you live, how you think, what do you do? All of that is involved, you see. Okay, continuing on here now. Verse 21, even for you who through him do believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope might be in God, having purified your lives by obedience to the truth unto unfeigned brotherly love through the Spirit, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now that's what God wants us to do. Now when we get together in fellowship groups or church groups, you're gathered together with the different saints of God. We've all come from different backgrounds. None of us would have chosen any of us to be our friends, let alone brothers and sisters. But God has chosen them and brought us together so that we can learn to love God, to love each other, and to learn to grow and overcome together so that we can pray for one another, help one another, serve one another. And that's why he says here, don't conform yourself, verse 14, to your former lust, your former way of living. Now notice verse 23, for you have been begotten again. Okay? Same thing that we have up there in verse 2. Verse 3. Not from corruptible seed, but from incorruptible seed, by the living word of God, which remains forever. So here we come across another principle that's important for us to understand. The Bible, though it is a book, it is not like any other book. Because the Bible teaches you spiritual things, and it affects your mind spiritually. And I might also say this, that having the printed word of God will do it for you greater than the electronic word of God. I was not wrong to have it the Bible in the electronic or digital form. We produce it and we give it to you. But when the power went out down in Southern California, Albert Cataga was out of electricity for 11 days. And he said, I was thankful to have my Bible because he is an expert with his computer and the Bible on there. See, so let this be something, you know, if you need a physical Bible, you write us. We'll send it to you. Okay? That's why we have them. See? Now, just as another sidebar before we finish, we know we're going to come across some very difficult economic times. So we're going to be confronted with some very difficult societal things, maybe riots and looting and killing, just like Greece. We're only 5 years behind. Look at that. Look what's going on over there. Okay? So what we have done these last couple of years is that we have taken the funds that you have sent in with your tithes and offerings, and we have filled up our storage, what would you call them? Storage, like in a mini storage. We have 10 of them.
Storage units.
Pardon?
Storage units.
Storage units, yes. How simple. Storage units, yes. You know, sometimes you can't get it. We have them full of Bibles and every book that we have. And we did that for two reasons. Number one, if there's inflation, we got them at a lower price. And we have inflation. Do we have inflation? Yes. Yes, yes. Oh, the government says, no, no, you don't have inflation. But you try it when you go buy something. Okay? We get them at a lower price. Or if there is a depression and they crash the economy to bring in the world economy, the world currency, rather, there won't be any money for a while, and we will already have them in storage, ready to go, paid for. Okay? We don't do anything on credit. We don't run off to Satan's banks, borrow money on interest to preach the gospel. Think on that. All right. By the living word of God, which remains forever, and you have it. See? For all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man is like the flower of the field. The grass has withered, and its flower has fallen away, but the word of our Lord endures forever, and this is the message that was preached to you through the gospel. Now, let's continue on the theme. We have just a few more minutes here. What do I do? Chapter 2 and verse 1. See, all of these things are important. Now, if you've been in a Protestant church in the past, how many sermons have you heard? What do you do now? Okay. Chapter 2. Therefore, having put away all wickedness and all deceit and hypocrisies and jealousies and all slanders. Not something? Because human nature is evil and wicked, isn't it? Well, part of overcoming is putting those things away. Remember how you behaved before you were called and were baptized. And now you have to have your mind reprogrammed with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to get rid of these things. Now, what if they pop back up in your mind? Well, you overcome, you repent, you put them down. See? As newborn babes, this doesn't mean you're born again, but this just shows you how eager you need to be to learn the way of God. Now, little babies, when they're born, they don't know how to talk, even though you can watch these silly ads, you know, where you have little kids doing trades on the stock market, you know, and all of this sort of thing, see. No, they don't know how to talk, so it's, you know why babies cry? Because they can't talk. The only way they can communicate is cry. Now, mothers know when babies need to be fed, right? And if you feed them anything than mother's milk, you are destroying the future health of your child. That said, that would be akin to drinking the wrong Bible, misusing the Word of God. See? Because mother's milk has every antibody that your baby needs. You don't need the shots by the doctors. Okay? Likewise, it says here, yearn for the pure spiritual milk. Now, a lot of things that we teach are in-depth teachings. If you've just been baptized recently, you have to yearn for the pure spiritual milk. We have it for you. Part of it's these general epistles. We have 8 care packs that we have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Each leading in how many?
6.
6? Okay. Make it 6 instead of 8. Okay. 6 care packs. Each going through the basic thing. Now, we also have, in one of the appendices in the Bible, we have there the beliefs of the New Testament church, exactly as they were taught by the apostles. Who is God? The nature of God. Who is Christ? The nature of Christ. What is the Holy Spirit? And all the way through all of the basic doctrines that you are to learn. All of those are the pure spiritual milk that you can study. So you see, the Bible that we have produced for you is to tell you about the Bible, how we got it, how God has devised it, the way it needs to be, and then in the appendices, we have how to study the Bible. First appendix is Appendix A, how to study the Bible, 14 rules, okay? Then you go on. What are the beliefs? What are you to believe? All right there. Pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow. Okay, hold your place. We'll come right back there. Come to the last part of 2 Peter 3. Just over a few pages. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 14. And we'll finish with this. For this reason, beloved, since you are anticipating these things, be diligent so that you may be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless. That's through daily prayer, that's through daily study, that is through righteous conduct and living. For this reason, beloved, since you, yes, spotless and blameless. We can correct that out. Verse 15. And bear in mind that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, exactly as our beloved Paul, brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has also written to you. As he has also in all of his epistles, speaking in them these things, and which are some things that are difficult to understand. All right? Now, lesson number one. If you are need the spiritual meat to begin growing spiritually, do not jump into the middle of Galatians or Romans or Hebrews. Study the general epistles first and get grounded. Okay? Now, when you have done that, we have Appendix Z in the Bible explaining all of Paul's difficult to understand scriptures, and they are difficult to understand, which Peter acknowledges here, and some things that are difficult to understand, which the ignorant and unstable are twisting and distorting, as they also twist and distort the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, beloved, since you know this in advance, be on guard against such practices, lest you be led away with the error of the lawless ones, and you fall from your own steadfastness. Don't get caught up in doctrinal wars that you don't understand now. Grow in grace and knowledge so you will understand. That's what he says here, the last verse. Rather, be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and into the day of eternity. Okay? So we'll pick it up here next time. What should I do after baptism?
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.